The increase in American troops in Iraq is widely credited with reducing violence in Baghdad and other parts of the country. Another result of last year's surge, there are now nearly twice as many suspected Iraqi insurgents in U.S. custody, nearly 24,000 in all. The U.S. military is trying to figure out how to hold those detainees without allowing detention camps to become recruiting centers for the most radical militant groups. NPR's Corey Flintoff visited the biggest U.S. detention center.
The crowd gathers just after dusk outside a freshly tiled and painted building with a ceremonial red ribbon stretched across its entrance. Lieutenant Colonel Patrick Williams steps up to the microphone.
Today we open the Dar Hikmah Book of Freedom School, I guess I can call it part two. The buildings you see will support higher education for our detainee population.
Dar al-Hikmah is the Arabic name for the new school. It means house of wisdom, and the U.S. military hopes it will be a transformational place for the nearly 20,000 Iraqis housed at this sprawling detention camp in the desert of far southern Iraq. Brigadier General Michael Nevin believes that basic education is one of the keys to returning former militants to Iraqi society. The U.S. detention system offers first through fifth grade schooling for some nearly illiterate detainees, as well as health care, family visitations, and a military system for reviewing their cases. Nevin admits that it hasn't been easy to convince his fellow commanders that this is an important part of fighting the war.
This is seen as a byproduct of war fighting, but you've got to look at it in a counterinsurgency terms. All of the population engagements you do are part of the counterinsurgency effort, and this is a significant population engagement. The spheres of influence in the Iraqi society, each detainee represents 100 family members, tribal members, relatives, friends that care about him. With the population that we have, we're affecting the perceptions of 2.5 million Iraqis.
Until the surge began last spring, Camp Buka had a much smaller population, but it was a chaotic and dangerous place. Radical inmates fought their guards with stones, burned down their barracks, and imposed their own rules on the other detainees. Major General Doug Stone, the commander of U.S. detention operations in Iraq, says that worst of all, hardened militants were able to use the camps to recruit young men. He says that some young detainees were not extremists, but were bribed or intimidated into taking part. Some may have been innocent.
In fact, there are mistakes made. Very significant guys get away and are unknown, and guys that are oftentimes very minimally involved are wrapped up.
Stone says that much of the anger in the camp stemmed from the fact that the detainees have not been convicted of anything and have no fixed sentences, so there's a sense of isolation and hopelessness. One way of combating that is to bring each detainee before a military review board that can examine his case and recommend that he be released. A young man stands before a tribunal composed of two officers and a senior enlisted man. He fidgets, and his yellow prison jumpsuit and windbreaker hang loosely from skinny shoulders. This is the review board. Frank Hutchison is a Navy lieutenant commander and a lawyer.
The detainee walks into the room and he's read his rights, an approved set of rights that is given to the detainee. At that point, the detainee is swore in. He swears on the Quran, if he's Muslim, and not all of them are. And then at that point, the detainee has read what he's been alleged to have done to get him here. And then the board is sort of a give and take.
Hutchison says the sessions last anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour, and the three-person boards have to process a lot of them to meet their goal of reviewing every inmate every 6 months.
A typical day, we do anywhere between 160 to 200 people. In fact, as many as 240 there for a while.
At the end of the hearing, the detainee is told that he'll receive a letter in 45 days telling him whether he'll be released or extended for another 6 months. If the board feels that he's made progress in detention, he may be recommended to take part in educational, vocational, and religious programs. It's not due process as Americans know it, but Colonel James Brown, the commander of Camp Buka, says it breaks the cycle of hopelessness that helps turn people who were minor fighters into full-blown radicals.
It has an enduring effect because the majority of the guys that we recommend, they stay. The reason we're recommending they stay is because the clear preponderance of evidence is that they were engaged in anti-coalition combat, that since they were doing that, the likelihood is very high that they will continue to do that, and they understand that. But they respect being a part of the process.
For those who don't get to go home, there's the school and a religious program run by an imam who leads discussions of the Quran and tries to refute the teachings of religious radicals known as takfiris. Because they're zealous and well-organized, they can recruit or intimidate more moderate inmates in their compounds, ruling them like gang leaders in American prisons. The American strategy at Camp Buca is to identify the radicals and move them into separate compounds at one end of the camp. Colonel Brown.
These are the Takfiri and Al-Qaeda compounds. These guys came from hardened groups, extremists, that were fighting us. That they believe is that you kill anybody who doesn't agree with your extremely rigid view of Islam, especially other Islamic people.
Brown says that even the most extreme inmates still have their status reviewed every 6 months and that they have access to family visits and educational programs, although most refuse to take part. Since they've been segregated and since the review process began last August, the American commanders say that even the radical compounds have been quiet. The biggest problem with them is that the inmates are constantly working to escape, digging tunnels and tearing up their mattresses to make clothes that will cover their canary yellow prison uniforms once they're outside. Major General Doug Stone, the detention operations commander, says that's something that keeps him awake nights.
The thing that I do think about all the time is the guys that are really, really smart. And have they figured out how to jujitsu me in our fighters? I mean, have they already infiltrated something, or have they already engaged in understanding our behavior and what we want to do so well that they've adapted to us and I don't see it?
One weakness of Stone's strategy is simply that the educational and religious programs are still too new and too small to reach more than a few of the nearly 20,000 detainees at Camp Buca. His commanders are working to create more space for programs, but they say they need more guards to supervise the detainees and move them from place to place inside the camp to be effective in what Stone calls the battlefield of the mind. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Baghdad.